I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers 263, the box office report for the week ending March 12th, 2017. We have all sufficiently sprung forward.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
I made it.
Yes, that was dicey.
It was.
We were wondering. We don't bother to tell you when the clocks fall back.
Yeah, because what's the point?
That's funny when you're out in the driveway for an hour.
Yeah.
Well, no. 30 minutes.
30, yeah,
I would say 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah. That's the week we can get out of here.
Benny's here
time.
A few minutes early. Yeah,
right.
It's nice.
Yeah. Ooh, it's nice.
Ooh, so, look, he made it.
Yeah. So I guess let's go around the table and we can all introduce ourselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And we have a guest this week.
Yes. I am Michael Hafner. I write for WeAreMovieGeeks.com, and I'm happy to be here. Thanks, guys, for having me.
You've been on before, correct?
I have. Yeah. I was on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know.
And yet you came back.
I came back.
Yeah.
And then there was
the second one.
The first one's not as bad. Like,
the first one's bad, but...
When you look at it compared to the second one,
yes,
it's not as bad.
Like that fart smelled way worse.
Yeah,
that's also true. Yeah.
That makes it look like the two makes one look like the Citizen Kane of talking turtle movies.
Is that the one
secret
that says
secret of the
stay in the shadows or
yes.
Hey,
out of the shadows? Out of the they're shadows. Out of the shadows now.
Yeah. So they were supposed to be in the shadows, but they never. Kept like they had no
the weird thing about that is the first film ends with them in broad daylight on top of a skyscraper saving the city, so they were never really
right
in the shadows.
And they're like, well, we're in the shadows now, like no, you basically were out in public and remember they're doing they're surfing down the sides of buildings like in public.
No, that was the side of a mountain.
No, they were in the beginning. They surfed
down buildings.
Oh,
because
really?
They surfed and they ended
in New
up
York.
Like into Madison Square Garden.
Oh, that's right.
Because that's they just break in through the
sewer. It's weird
that
sewer. I remember that.
That is weird.
Well, because they got to the rafters from the sewer.
Right. They were in the sewers and they're sliding
and they
down
popped out
and
of...
then they're in the rafters of Madison Square
Guys,
Garden.
Guys, I just want to apologize for us talking about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles again.
We never thought we would discuss
that. I'm so sorry.
Don't ever bring him back.
And you were here for The Huntsman Winter's War.
Oh, yeah.
We officially have Michael Hafner in for every sequel.
Yeah.
Well, wow. Will the streak continue?
Is this a sequel?
Well, we have to decide. Yeah, what is this
is
exactly?
Nah, it's not a sequel, but
it's
a continuation of a franchise.
Yeah,
it's a continuation. Yeah. You know, I mean,
is it?
They're level setting.
Yes, that's what I would call
this
it.
This is basically
it's funny.
Giant level
it's a soft
set.
Reboot.
It's funny. As many King Kong movies have been. Have there ever really been true sequels?
I mean, there was like
King
the
Kong Lives,
Son of Kong.
Yeah,
like those.
I feel like they're always like
each one's by
completely
itself.
Retweaking
yeah.
it
yeah.
to
yeah.
fit
yeah.
something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like his size changes,
yeah. right?
And,
I guess
know,
there was never
whoever, whatever
oh,
monster
yeah,
they have
there
them fighting.
Entertainment Weekly had kind of a cool infographic of the varying size, sizes of Kong, and they've gone
how big,
from like
how is,
between 24 and 149 feet or something.
Yeah.
Like
how much
that?
Bigger is this one than the one that was in the Peter Jackson?
Oh, he's huge.
Oh, well, the Peter Jackson was 24 feet.
Yeah, this one's 100 feet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so he's going to have to fight Godzilla.
Right.
Yeah.
The director said that's not why they made him that size.
Bull.
Right.
Bull.
And that's also why they had they mentioned something about how he's.
He's still growing. He's still growing.
Yeah,
I thought that too. I saw that. Yeah. And he's not even fully grown yet.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, he's just a baby.
There's been a meme where it's like, you know, the Arthur meme where he's making the fist.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where it's just like, you know, you finally get your own movie, and then somebody asks, "When are you fighting Godzilla?" So it's like just him clenching his fist at the very end.
He's like he's like Sad Affleck.
He is like Sad Affleck.
Right? Yeah. Making his own movie.
He finally gets his own movie. He's like, oh, by the way, when are you fighting Godzilla?
What's funny, too, is like when you start like searching like titles of King Kong or Skull Island, there was actually an Italian ripoff called like King of Skull Island.
Oh.
And King Kong's not even in it. It's like a mad scientist on a planet who's like making, it's like an island of Dr. Moreau, like ape-like man creatures. And it's like, people have just borrowed that Skull Island or King Kong like for so many different films. But yeah.
What is the movie from?
From 1968, I believe.
That's pretty recent.
Someday on the internet, somebody's going to look up these things. Yeah. King and Skull Island.
The Prophet.
Can you never do an Italian accent ever again?
That was so racist. MST-3000 actually ripped it apart in like one of the past episodes.
Oh, nice.
That's pretty good.
No, that wasn't racist. I went, Mamma Mia.
I'm going to win. I can do that.
Oh, man. We're off to a good start.
We are. So on that note,
that was for you, Joe.
Thank you very much. Let's get in some shameless plugs. Don't forget that we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously. We greatly appreciate it. It's why we drive it into your head every week.
And
we're doing Rock Dog.
They were doing Rock Dog.
Did you see Rock Dog? We're doing Rock Dog now.
If we said if no one gave us a new iTunes review, we were going to do Rock Dog. So I got to
do a review now.
So, but no, there are no new iTunes.
I gave them a whole 24 hours to do it.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
crazy. That's crazy. So that's true. It was posted late, so I guess we'll cut him a break.
Okay, fine.
And also, we don't want to see Rock Dog.
Yeah. But next weekend, Rock Dog.
Next weekend,
this is
Rock.
You now have a week and a day.
I think Dan and I have other plans for next weekend.
Yeah.
I think you aren't you guys... Well, we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
Not Rock Dog.
So
actually, by next weekend, Rock Dog should be gone.
That's true. We'll be safe. By next weekend, it should
video
be available on home video.
Yeah. And by that, we mean VHS. That's how they're releasing Rock Dog.
In a clamshell.
Yeah.
Sounds dirty when you say it like
that.
It
does.
No, the clamshell casing.
Yeah, thank you.
I get it.
I kind of want to see Rock Dog now.
It also sounds like a weird exotic drink. I'd like Rock Dog and a clamshell.
Sounds like something you get at the moolah.
And a sex on the beach for the lady.
That sounds like something you get in the back alley.
That's also something you have to go see a doctor for.
Uh-oh.
Oh, I got the clamshell again.
Did you get the clamshell?
Yeah.
It also kind of sounds like one of those made-up sex positions. Like... Is that a rusty trombone or
no, that's a clamshell?
It's a Rock Dog and a clamshell. Whoa.
She's pretty limber.
Should have stuck with the rusty trombone.
Now, Tom, you say made up like you don't have the internet.
I didn't say I made them up.
No, but the fact that you called them made up positions. Come on.
These aren't real
things. I feel like there's nothing that's left.
Yeah.
There's nothing we can say that's not a real thing at this point. Yeah.
I was like, ha, made up like the rusty trombone.
Silly, silly Tom.
Joke's on you. No.
Joe, demonstrate, please.
Yeah. No. They're not.
Yeah, you should have saved that for our 50 Shades
podcast.
Yeah. But you were too good.
I was too good.
So,
yeah.
Don't forget, we're also available on Facebook. You can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers, and join the League of Show Sharers, people who were kind enough to share the show this week. Include but are not limited to. That's my caveat because of privacy settings.
Yeah, right.
There's always shows be like you know, all these people that share the show.
We do have a bunch.
A bunch of them don't show up in the names because of how you have your privacy
right.
Setting. So if you've been sharing the show and we haven't said your name, a silent tip of the hat to you, kind sir,
or send
or
us
madam,
a message or
wherever you're at on the gender spectrum. I'm not trying to cast aspersions.
Well, there we go.
It's an accidental hate crime. Call me Joe.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, that's true. Yours aren't accidental.
Yeah, mine's aren't accidental.
Yeah.
Mine are totally on purpose.
Totally on purpose. So people that were kind enough to share the show this week, Griffin Fox-Smith, Linnea Thunsell, Jason Herndon, Brett Schulte, Brent or Brenton Smith, depending on his mood or mine, Chris Sanders, Nick Scott, Tammy Sherman Powers, Jamie Walton, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Librarian Cynthia, Travis Tewitt,
Timmy Two Soons, Tom Comiskey, and Julianne Jordan. So thank you for sharing the show. We greatly appreciate it.
I think Jason Wiese, too.
I did not.
Mm-hmm. I saw him share it.
Oh, okay. And then I apologize, Jason. I missed you when I was going through.
We also got a nice little, going back to our Bob Newhart discussion on the Twitter. We had a guy, I guess he figured out that there was an actual comic book in that Bob Newhart show.
What, he owned a comic book shop?
He was a comic book artist?
I didn't see his comment at all.
It was on Twitter. He sent it to Real Spoilers and me.
Oh, okay. That's
right. But yeah, I guess it was called Mad Dog.
That was the name of the comic that he created.
So they actually did a run on the
fake
comic.
They did a real run.
In real life.
Oh,
like
did
a,
they?
It's like a 6-issue run of the real book.
That's got to be in quarter bins everywhere.
Everywhere. It could be nice in quarter bins.
Yeah.
sitting next to Vigilante. And,
Speedball.
The John Belushi story.
It's the John Belushi story. Correct. Yeah, exactly. Yes. So anyway, thanks to everyone for sharing the show and your comments on Facebook and... what's nice to see all that. So
yeah, it's good stuff.
I guess at this point, we will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin?
I do, Tom, and I don't think it's to anyone's surprise that Kong Skull Island would be number one.
Did that come out this week?
You saw Rock Dog, didn't you?
I saw Rock Dog.
I got to tell you, I kind of thought Logan might stick around at the top.
No.
Oh, there's no way. That can't. Yeah. No.
I think everybody was.
I mean, no. But the movie did. I'll say it did only make $53 million, which seems a little light for a big movie like this.
It does.
So I will.
And I will go out on a limb.
Because how much did Logan make opening weekend?
Oh, like 83.
Yeah. I was going to say I thought it was close.
So you have a little. I mean, Logan is such a smaller movie than Kong, right?
Yeah.
And yet this. I mean, it's just because it has some X-Men characters, it's still so much closer to an art house movie than a superhero movie. And then you have a big summer-esque blockbuster coming out in March, Kong Skull Island, that makes 53. It's like,
this is going to clean up though abroad. This will make 150.
Well, we'll get into that, but they did conveniently place one character from each country in the world.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, it's just getting like, okay, we get it. You know, I get the business of it, but I just hate seeing it forced. I don't care what characters show up in your movies, but when it's one of everyone's from
they've
different...
got name tags.
Yeah,
on. I'm the from.
It is so obvious now, but we'll get into that a little later. Kong Skull Island had a $185 million budget, though. So that's why a $53 million domestic opening seems a little light, but
it's no Great Wall of China.
Yeah,
that's true.
But it will make hundreds of millions overseas.
And what did Godzilla make its opening weekend?
Which one?
I feel like
Are
you talking about Gojira? Shin Godzilla?
Yeah, that one. The 2014 version.
The one with Matthew Broderick?
Not the one with Matthew Broderick.
Didn't you work on that?
I didn't work for them. I worked for an agency that did the advertising for.
Coming out of this movie, I just rewatched those teasers for the Matthew Broderick one.
Right.
And those were good.
Yeah,
teasers.
It's a museum, and there's a skull,
it's like a
skeleton
T-Rex.
Of like a T-Rex, and then the foot comes in through
and
the
those,
skylight.
Those Taco Bell meals that Dan designed, I mean,
they're
were awesome. They made me want to run around
go
to the
wrong.
Movie.
They were Doritos.
Oh, there you go.
It was one giant. It was a giant Dorito.
He's very proud
all
of
I
it.
Wanted. I just wanted one giant Dorito in a bag and say they were Godzilla-sized.
So Godzilla 2014 made $200 million domestic and $328 million overseas.
What was opening weekend, though?
Opening weekend was $93 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this is half. Yeah. I mean, a little over half. So and anyway, it's interesting. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that one, but I don't think it will lose money by any means. Number two, Logan. So there you go, Joe. $36 million. That's a 59% drop from opening weekend, but still a ton of money. $150 million domestic, and it has almost $200 million already overseas.
Good boy.
So $315 million, a third of $1 billion, in only a couple weeks on $97 million budget.
That's kind of a big drop, though, because I remember a couple of weeks ago when Get Out dropped only 20% or 25% after its opening.
This
weekend.
Is a front loaded movie, though. I mean, you have every superhero comic book fan will see it opening weekend. You know what I mean?
It's almost got
a built-in audience the way that Get Out doesn't.
And Get Out is just like, what, word of mouth? Like, people that aren't horror buffs are going to go see it when they hear about it.
Watchmen.
I still have people in my Facebook feed that clearly have just seen it, and they're like, oh my God.
I need to talk about it right now. Yeah. And I was like, I'll talk about it. Let's talk about it.
I'll be like, here's a link.
Yeah, exactly. Like, here's the episode.
I'm like, I already talked about it. Listen to it here.
Right. We talked for an hour and a half on these things already. So, yeah, I mean, Logan tripling its budget in a couple of weeks. They have to be happy with that. And again, that was a big gamble on the R-rated.
Do they still make, since this is R-rated, are there still action figures that tie into this movie?
I mean, so they are just now releasing an Old Man Logan figure, but it's based on the comic version, yeah. Not this version.
But I'm sure that they're like in those $40 black collectible. It's not like Target Logan toys.
They still like, so
it'd
Marvel
be like
does
probably Sideshow collectibles.
Yeah.
Marvel does like Marvel Select. So they have like sets, and then like inside the set you can build like a bigger figure. And they come out with
build
like
a bigger what?
Figure.
Okay.
Yeah, take it. Yeah.
I mean, I've got the footage. I'll rewind that. That was questionable, but okay, please continue.
Kevin's going to call
fast.
An instant replay.
Yeah, you said that a little fast.
Let's go to the tape. Kevin wants to use one of his timeouts.
Yeah, I would like to. I get one, and if I win, I get another, right?
No, you just get your timeout back.
How about the sports reference, though? How about this?
That was pretty good. That's an NFL reference at that.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, they don't really do figure tie-ins to the movies anymore. DC does because they have different costumes. So like you'll
and
see
they desperately
that's the only
need
way
to
make money.
They desperately need the revenue.
Yeah, right. But they don't. Marvel only puts out figures that are kind of tied into the comics at this point,
gotcha.
For the most part, unless there's something like Guardians and things like that.
So now we're going to, I mean, so now the question is,
that's what it is. They won't put out figures that are based on.
Oh, because they don't want to make money for the,
They will put out figures based on the Marvel Cinematic figures.
Right, and their comics.
Correct.
Them.
And
their comics.
They will not put out figures
based
on the. So
they're circumventing it.
Yeah, because they own the, Marvel owns the rights to the toys. They just have Fox as the movies, so.
Well, Fox probably gets some sort of kickback on.
I think Fox gets
on,
a kickback on figures.
Because they have to relicense the movie. But I guess if you're Marvel,
likenesses.
If you wrote a comic, if you wrote a movie based on one of our comics, why would I pay you to license the movie? I'll just license the comic.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to license
exactly.
The comic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't have to do that.
So, you know, this was a big gamble, and obviously it paid off. Now the question is, will future X-Men films like the New Mutants that they're already working on, will that be R-rated?
Well, they're going to do it. They're doing a TV. I mean, Legion on FX is an X-Men property, and that's a TV MA show.
Yeah.
I don't know what the new X-Men TV show is going to be. I have to believe it's not going to be.
Well,
a
I heard
because
the R-rated thing works so well that the New Mutants are now going to be the Nude Mutants.
Oh, that should be exciting.
Look for that.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Oh, good. Naked Speedball. Perfect.
Yeah. But now, so what we're also
the Jim Belushi story.
Right.
but now, I mean, now that Deadpool made a ton of money and was R, this made a ton of money and it's rated R. Now we're going to start seeing the imposters, and so now DC's asking.
You know what I wish Hollywood would do instead of looking at Deadpool and Logan and going, oh, R-rated movies,
they work.
Right. I wish they would look at those and go, oh,
good
movies
work.
Yes.
And they just happen to be R-rated because of the content. I know.
And it's just like DC doesn't have any care, like with the exception of Lobo and maybe this, like
this Batman.
No. Like you
what, this murder you in a warehouse,
yeah,
Batman.
You
don't think
it's
R-rated?
You could do an R-rated Batman just on violence.
Yeah, violence.
I mean,
maybe.
Absolutely. The extended cut. They had to cut the stuff in the warehouse to make it not R-rated. So therefore,
he is
an R-rated Batman.
If anything, I feel like this would open the door for Todd McFarlane's Spawn, which he's been talking about forever.
He's still saying that.
Like he's still saying it, but it's like, you know, if anything deserves like an R-rated comic book adaptation, Spawn, and it's like, this should open the floodgate for that.
Yeah, yeah,
easily,
anything from Image at this point.
But now we're getting DC contemplating the next movie is R-rated because these worked. And it's like, you don't get it, DC. That's it.
He's the only one you could do. And he's their
Lobo.
Wolverine. Like,
yeah. But they're missing the point. To Tom's point, they're totally missing it. Like, Deadpool and Logan are rated R and they're successful. Okay, let's make a rated R movie, not talking about what kind of content are we going to put in it.
I think the Deadpool stuff, if you do like a, like, if you section that off,
if you left them to their own devices, they would just add a scene where like Wonder Woman gets her cans out and they go, there, we made an R-rated one too.
Ta-da! Make us $1 billion. I will say that trailer didn't look bad.
Don't.
Again, I'm not.
Stop.
No. I had, like, we got fooled before.
He said he was sorry and that this time he loves me for real.
I mean, I think that Joe
fell down the stairs.
Joe and I
hit my face on a doorknob.
When we were watching, what did we watch? Was it Only God Forgives? We were watching one of the movies that we got on satellite that was early released.
Yeah.
And I think you and I watched the Man of Steel trailer when it was first coming out. And like,
they make great trailers.
I mean, that trailer almost brought us to tears. Like, that Man of Steel trailer
was a great trailer.
The film also brought us to tears.
But it's like, man, that, you know, and now look what everyone
says. I will say, they cut great trailers.
Well, that new Wonder Woman trailer, I think, is fantastic.
That's the one that got released last night.
That's what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah. They've gotten me three times already.
And they're tying it up again.
They need to just make like 3-minute movies.
They do.
I think they need to just make a separate like row for you to walk in.
Yeah,
Joe.
Hi, I'm here. All right, good.
It's Joe. Let him in.
Thank you.
Maybe instead of making an R-rated superhero movie, DC could make an X-rated superhero movie.
I'm in
because you only watch those in 3-minute increments anyway.
That's true, right? I'm done. Okay. Yeah, but perfect.
So the people were asking me, they're like, "Oh, is it really gory?" And I'm Logan, and I'm like, "No." Okay, so here's the thing, Deadpool, like, they pursued over the top gore. This Logan is brutal beyond belief, and there's like a little
gore.
There's some gore, but it's not like, you know, it's not indulging in it. And it's more like,
I would say it's more real
unavoidable.
It's kind of like real life gore. Violence.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like, more violent than gory.
It's not gooey or.
But they weren't like
flirting everywhere.
Yeah, like, I mean, how can we make this? You know, how can we take this over the top? You know, like, maybe he can, you know, give him a claw in the butthole. That's not what they were doing.
Well, that's what Deadpool's
going to do. What if his penis was a claw?
Yeah, but that's what Deadpool would do.
Hear me out.
You know, that's what Deadpool would do, and it worked for them. But it's like,
you're thinking of Tim Vigil's boss.
Yes. I mean, it's not. I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I think
are those still worth
is.
Anything, by the way?
The Faust comics?
Yeah.
For a while, those were pretty pricey.
At first prints, they probably still had pretty good price.
And I think Spawn would be similar to
like Spawn,
Deadpool.
Savage Dragon.
Yeah.
Invincible.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
the fact
Wildcats.
That. Wildcats. Yeah, all that stuff. I think Wildcats would be a better TV show, but.
Yeah.
Cherry Pop Tart.
That's already. But yeah, if they
section. There's already about 100 movies.
That's probably true.
That do that.
Yeah.
Are those all spinoffs?
Yeah. But like, if they just do Deadpool and X-Force and keep that stuff separate and let them be their own rated R thing, they've got a whole section of story they can just keep off, keep it separate from the X-Men stuff. And do all kinds of rated R craziness with it.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see what happens. But yeah, I hope that they just don't start slapping R-rated movies. But you know, that's how the film industry works. We've talked about the copycats before, where, you know, let's split a movie into two. Let's people just, this works, let's just copy it, and it's just not the only thing to it.
But you know, think about it. Would Marvel do it?
Oh, probably not.
Yeah, they already have their TV shows that are basically R-rated. I mean, all those Netflix shows. I mean, if those got slapped with anything,
you got
Agents of Shield. 4 days.
Well, the Netflix stuff. I mean, that's
it totally is. You're right.
I mean, that's very R-rated.
But you also have to remember those fall under the Disney umbrella.
Yes,
and I just don't know that Disney wants to go down that road.
But also, that's like, those are the characters that would, like, those Marvel Knights characters. So the Daredevil, Moon Knight, Punisher, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist. Those are the characters that lend themselves to a rated R story. I don't think you can get away with doing a rated R Spider-Man.
No,
that wouldn't make sense.
Like, Moon Knight.
Yeah. Maybe a Captain America. Like, he's the only one who could probably, like, walk that line of doing something rated R.
But they wouldn't do
but
it.
But they wouldn't do it.
They wouldn't do it.
Yeah, because they know their characters and they're
Dude,
gonna,
a rated R Moon Knight? All day.
Yeah.
That'd be
Moon
awesome.
Moon Knight, I could see that being, like, one of the few.
Yeah.
Now,
Howard the Duck?
No, you could do a Howard the Duck for sure.
Yeah.
Like a Nick Fury, like old man Nick Fury. Well, they can't do that. Well, I guess they still could. They could do like an old man Nick Fury. Like an old, like
it's
a Fury.
An old man.
Well, a Fury Max.
Older.
Like a Hasselhoff.
Yeah. Hasselhoff. Interestingly enough, Hugh Jackman said that if Wolverine joined the Marvel Universe, he would come back.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So we'll have to see. You know,
Scott,
I mean,
Scott Eastwood's like, damn it.
If Spider-Man works, and if they could somehow get the Fantastic Four back, like, if they can start getting these back.
I'm surprised that hasn't come out already.
Yeah.
That they're just like, oh, we don't know what we're doing with this. Here, take it back.
I mean, they still can make money off of it, so I think they're scrambling still.
And I think that's another reason you won't see an R-rated Marvel cinematic movie, is because they don't need to.
No. Yeah. No. When they hit their first hiccup, theatrically, maybe. But until
I can even
then,
see it, you know, 15 years from now when the kids that grew up with this are old enough and have a nostalgia for this version to be toughened up.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
I can see that for sure.
Yeah, maybe. So going back to the box office, number three, Get Out. So, you know, speaking of that one making so much money, it's the third week. It made another $21 million, which was only a 26% drop.
That's
so
great.
Up to $110 million domestic. And I don't have any overseas figures, but $4.5 million budget on that. So, I mean, that's tremendous.
That's the fastest Blumhouse film to make $100
million. Wow. Yeah, yeah, 3 weeks
I mean, domestically. You think about all the, you know, Paranormal Activity films and all, and Sinister. It's like all of those films did so well, but it's like this is outpacing even those, which is just insane.
Blumhouse is, I mean, you're a big horror guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
huge.
Most of us here at the table are, but like Blumhouse, they just keep hitting home run after home run. Yeah. They've had like two little snafus, but I mean, they've been producing movies left and right, and they are, most of them are like this. So
Between this and Split, does this maybe show a broadening of their kind of
into
repertoire,
like the thriller genre rather than horror? Yes.
Yeah, because these movies, that's the thing, is that people are going to see these movies, both of those that you mentioned, that aren't horror nerds, right?
Right.
Like, so, you know, horror has a very specific audience. There's people that love the films, and just like all you guys grew up watching them, you know, great example at this table. But these movies are branching out way outside, and, you know, it is showing that there's, you can kind of expand upon horror into these thriller type films.
Yeah,
and
well, I think they're doing themselves a disservice by calling it a horror film.
Yeah,
I think when you call something a horror film, it automatically cuts out 25% of your audience because they're not going to go see
it. Yeah,
like the
Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs is the perfect example. That's a horror movie. Like, I don't. People will say, no, it's a thriller. Like,
no,
they do a straight up first person POV at the end of that movie that they do in Halloween. Like, it's the same thing.
But they wouldn't be nominated for an Oscar for a
Halloween
horror
would not
movie.
Be nominated for,
you know?
Yeah, so, absolutely not.
But
what I think is interesting about the horror genre at the moment is it's almost in this like state of flux where you don't have a specific trend. You know, for a while there, you know,
The copycats.
You know, you had the slashers, and then you had this sort of, you know, torture porn, and then you had the found footage. And it's like horror seems to go in stages. And right now, what Blumhouse and a lot of what I think Blumhouse is influenced by is a lot of these art house horror films, like some of the independent horror films. And it's like they're seeing like, okay, people are drawn to things that are a little bit more experimental that don't fit a specific formula.
Yeah.
And I think, you're seeing this right now in horror where you don't have a specific way it's leaning one way or another.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
It's causing it not to wear out.
That's
wear
true.
Out its welcome.
Yeah.
But I think, we're starting to see like the legitimacy of a Blumhouse Oscar.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
If this doesn't get nominated, it's a travesty.
At least for screenplay.
Yes.
Yeah.
It should be. I mean, it's early on in the year, but hopefully it will be remembered.
This movie has gone on to get its own, like the Running Man challenge. It's now the Get Out challenge.
Yeah.
Where it's people just running at the camera and then cutting off to the side
and failing.
Have you seen this? And falling. No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, it's the Get Out challenge where, like, they run, like the grandpa at the camera.
The 90-degree turn.
And then try to cut, and then everybody keeps falling.
I'll tell you right now, that's how you get hip displays.
That's like
I will tell
leg.
You. That's a bad idea, but of all the things you could pick from this movie to build a challenge around, that's probably the best one.
That's true.
Like they went the right way.
My goodness. So anyway, Get Out, $110 million domestic in a few weeks on a $4.5 million budget. So good for them. Number four, The Shack, made $9 million. Joe, did you get to that one?
Shack Attack. I was like, Shack made a movie?
Yeah. Well, it's about the guy going to Radio Shack for components.
Oh, perfect.
And building model airplanes.
Good.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, he finds out the store closed.
It's
not there.
It is now a Crazy Bulls and Wraps.
Yeah.
Surprise.
He was like, this is much better.
Yeah.
Look for its sequel, Buster.
Yeah.
The Block. Yes.
So,
son of a bitch.
The Shack made $9 million, a 44% drop. In its second week, it is up to $31 million on its undisclosed budget.
Is that the highest grossing Sam Worthington? Oh, no, he's an Avatar. Never mind.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about that.
Is that the number one movie of all time?
Is it?
Yeah.
It's not The Avengers?
No, Avatar is like $3 billion or something.
What is this
like
Avatar film you guys speak of?
Yeah. Well, guess what?
Don't worry, the sequel's coming.
It's not anytime soon.
Yeah.
It just got pushed from 2018. Not happening. So it's now
that, like
2019 at the earliest.
How many movies has James Cameron actually made? Like, how many has he actually directed?
Recently?
No, I mean, like, in his career,
like
right?
Seven
it's
or eight?
Tons. There's Piranha 2, The Spawning.
Okay, well, all right. That's fair.
There's Terminator.
Terminator 2.
Terminator 2. Aliens.
The Abyss.
The Abyss.
The Abyss. True Lies. That's the one people always forget about.
That's a good one. Titanic.
Titanic.
And now Avatar?
Avatar. It's not a lot.
But they're all huge.
He takes his
He always taking his time
on, right?
He has
two of the three highest grossing films of all time. That's incredible for one director.
I'm
to
not
have.
Denying it. I just find it. I find it interesting that he's only made eight films.
Quality, and he keeps, like,
quality over quantity.
Yeah. And I saw, I breezed past something that said, you know, something four Avatar sequels. I was like,
yeah.
Come on, man.
I will
say that the stuff I'm seeing from
Disney.
From Disney does look very cool.
The Disney layouts,
their
land.
They're building a whole world for Avatar at Disney, which I'm like, I feel like,
get the Marvel stuff back.
How many
people don't even talk about Avatar anymore?
Yeah, it's like a puddle. Its fan base was wide, but not deep.
Right.
Like nobody cares. Everybody went. And it was because it had
moved on.
Everybody, because
that
new
was
bells
my point.
Whistles,
how many of you guys have, like, rewatched it?
I've rewatched it. I maybe watched once.
I didn't like it the first time.
I bought it on 3D Blu-ray because I felt like it was one of the first 3D movies that actually mattered. I bought it. I don't know if I've even watched it. I have no desire to watch
Avatar. I feel
like
I at least have seen it one more time.
I saw it twice in the theater, and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
I own it too. That is the weird part.
Right, I own it. I've never watched it because I felt like I needed
same
it.
Here.
And then I've never had the desire.
Yeah.
I'd rather go watch Dances with Wolves before I'd watch Avatar
Fern
again.
I saw.
I watched Fern Gully more than I care to admit.
I will say, I walked through the TV displays in Costco and they were showing Avatar when it came out.
Yeah.
And I was really caught off guard by how awful it looked.
Yeah.
It looked on TV. Like,
oh, really?
It was like too dialed in. You know what I mean? Like, it really showed off just
all the fake CG
how
stuff.
It was CG, how much CG was on there. I thought.
Interesting. Well, the crazy thing is that movie is now 8 years old. So think about the advancements. I mean, with technology grows exponentially. And so our CG looks so good now in the movies that do it right. So it's funny how even in less than a decade, old CG is dated, you know.
It looks like Superman 4.
And 8 year olds should not be dating.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, all agree.
No, that's another problem with Avatar. So that's why we don't.
I think the only reason Disney, it is a massive property. It's undeniable. But I think Disney also, like, for Animal Kingdom, they're like, what can we put here?
That we could work
makes
into
us
it?
More than a half day park.
Yeah, Animal Kingdom is already disappointing. So if you go
a half day park
and they have Avatar, you're like, yeah, that seems about
and
right.
And Avatar, they can place in a nighttime setting because they have, like, a nighttime parade.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So it's like, wow, now we got a reason for people to come here at night. Because you literally, if you get there at Rope Drop when they open,
you're done by, like, 10:30, 11.
You're out of there, yeah.
By
1 o'clock,
really?
You may stick around for lunch, but then you're done.
I go ride the Yeti thing, like, three or four times. That's fun. But
other than that. I mean, you know, it's
yeah.
That's the one you almost puked on?
I don't think so.
Did you just tell that story where, like, you rode something twice? You're like, I can't do that again.
Oh, no. I can't remember.
Oh, that was the teacup ride. It was the teacup.
That was the Tasmanian Devil Spinner ride at Six Flags. Okay. No, I know what you mean. There was something that I rode, but that was a more like a loop-de-loop type thing. I think. No, it wasn't. No, but that little Yeti ride is fun.
It's really well done.
Like Everest Adventure. Or
oh, okay.
Yeah, but, so, I mean, I was when they announced it, Tom and I lamented. It was like, wow. But I mean, I get what they're doing. It does look really, really cool.
It does look cool.
I think the park will be cooler than the movies.
I agree. Yeah. I think I would want to go just for the spectacle of it. Like, it looks like it would be cool.
But the property, though,
and I think it's
going
to be a very amazing thing to see before 2019. And then everybody's going to be like, well, whatever.
Yeah.
What's it say when they can build Avatar in real life faster than he can build it?
What year did that first one come out? Like 2006?
2009.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
10 years.
So, but
I mean, like, you know, well, the park will be open, what?
The next year?
Is that right?
What?
The park will be open.
Yeah, when
is that next year?
Pandora
Avatar? Or is
open.
It this summer?
Pandora? No, it's this summer.
This summer.
Oh, okay. 2019 is when Star Wars is open. And that's what it's like.
Oh, my gosh. 2019.
That's what everybody.
Book your calendar right now.
That's what all the families who didn't plan are going to be at Avatar.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean we can't get in? Oh, I guess we're going
to
Avatar.
Can we book our fast passes now for 2019? Because that's going to be a tough one.
You probably can.
Yeah. So, anyway, but
they're already sold out.
Well, speaking of Sam Worthington movies, The Shack has made a few bucks. $9 million, a 44% drop. It is up to $31 million on an undisclosed budget. So, not sure what's going on there. Dollars.
Find it soon on the spinner rack at a Hallmark store near you.
The $5 DVD shelf. talking about a movie that is making plenty of money, the Lego Batman movie, another $8 million, only a 32% drop. So less of a drop for that one in week five. $159 million, $109 million overseas. So over a quarter of $1 billion on an $80 million budget. And the interview with director Chris McKay is on ReviewSTL.com now. So go check that out.
Cool.
And coming out at number six, Before I Fall. Which one was that again?
Is that the Groundhog Day meets Mean Girls?
Prequel to After I Fall.
Is it?
Yes.
So Before I Fall, its second week in release, is already dropped down to $3 million. It's a 36% drop, but pretty small opening. It has made just a little bit under $9 million, and I do not have a budget on that one. Number seven, Hidden Figures, $2.7 million, 29% drop. It is up to $162 million. That is in week 12, and that's one that I think the theater count keeps growing, and it has made almost $200 million worldwide on a $25 million budget. So that is impressive.
That's all theater money now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is impressive. So yeah, I'm not sure when the home video release is planned
Never.
For that, but yeah, it's still in the theater. So you
it's
can...
the new My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
We're yeah. Oh, yeah, no kidding. Along. Yeah. Yeah. But not My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
No.
No. Swing and a miss.
Yeah. That's another one where, what, did that wait 15 years or
it
10 years?
Gap.
I mean,
it was a long
that's
yeah.
for a sequel,
they,
like,
a like
a niche
long gap,
sequel.
And they had a TV show in between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Which is always odd to me that the TV show didn't work because it should have.
Yeah.
Because it should have. Because that movie is just a sitcom,
right?
Yeah, you know,
it's
what
just
mean?
It's just an hour and a half pilot.
Yeah,
it really is. And right. I'm like, how did when they were like, it's going to be a TV show? I was like, oh, that'll run forever.
Well, is it because John Corbett wasn't on the TV show?
I don't know if that's the I don't know if you can point to that.
But the ladies, that may have been the.
I was
reason.
Like, was he so busy that he couldn't do? The
he thing? Was making Lucky for the USA Network,
which was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, he was already signed to another
really
show.
Good, really good show.
He's like Damon Wayans Jr. on New Girl.
Oh, yeah.
Lucky was great.
Who's still off the show.
And I'm still mad about it. I was like, damn, that was a good show. Nobody watched it. Too bad.
That had to make more Burn Notice. They didn't have a choice.
I think it had more episodes than My Big Fat Greek Life.
Yeah. That's probably true.
Is that what it was called?
That's what it was called, yeah. Jeez.
It's weird that I know that. It's sad.
No, it's
weird
not.
And
it's,
sad.
It's yeah. not. It's
do you have the Blu-ray collector set?
I did.
The complete,
no.
the full series, which is one season.
I think there's a package where you can get the movie, and it comes with like the entire series, which was like six episodes
on the special features.
The entire
disc,
series.
Yeah, yeah. I love that when they sell a complete series, but it's the one season.
That
yeah.
was like, was it The Flash? I think The Flash was one season.
Was it a one season?
Yeah,
so,
the one from the 90s.
Sure.
The John Wesley Shipp Flash.
I love that.
That was a great show. Yeah, it was a good show.
Yeah, Before It's Time. Number eight, John Wick Chapter 2. That one made $2.6 million this weekend. It's fifth week in release, only a 46% drop for that one. It is close to $100 million. I don't think it's going to make it there before it leaves theaters, but $87 million domestic, another about $62 million overseas, so around $150 million. That's not bad. I mean, again, I think that movie probably had like a $40 million budget.
Yeah, you know, just zooming out for a second
sure. And
looking at your top 10, it's interesting, especially for this time of year, without giving away the last two movies. I wouldn't want to spoil anything.
Oh, please don't. I wait for this all week.
We don't do that sort of stuff around. No. But number one, number two, number three, I haven't seen four, but I'm going to assume it's awful. Number five, I haven't seen six. Number seven, number eight, number nine, and then 10 is awful. So seven of your top 10 movies are actually good.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
And it's, several,
and it's March
several
right
of those
now.
Films are rated R.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the other thing to look at. I mean, Logan, Get Out, John Wick Chapter 2. I mean,
50 Shades Darker.
50 Shades
Hidden
Darker.
Figures.
Yeah.
I'm thinking something else. Sorry about
that. Hidden Fences was rated R. Hidden Figures is rated PG.
Oh, man. I forgot about that whole thing. You know, I think that the, what was that, the Golden Globes? I think the Golden Globe snafus were kind of overshadowed by another snafu.
Oh, yeah.
Like, people aren't exactly remembering the Golden Globes misspeak.
Did something else happen?
Yeah.
I think I'm, by the Oscar. Yeah. I think that the they've been overshadowed. So no one, I mean, whatever his face, Michael Keaton is probably like, yeah, no one's ever going to remember that I said that.
Did he
that.
Say that? Michael yeah. Keaton said that?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a, like a gal from like
they did.
Oh,
it was
both. Or
oh. She interviewed Pharrell and then Michael Keaton came out, but to present, and he said it.
But you know, he was like, please don't say it. Please don't say it. Like, damn it.
How many times did he say, yeah, was he pressing? But I mean, that's the thing. Like, now no one's going to remember that. Because right, it's like award shows, you know, for 2016
yeah.
movies.
Yeah. Yeah. And still everybody thinks, you know, and it feels bad about watching him put his speech back into his pocket.
Oh, my gosh. That yeah. is so,
so everybody
sad.
Gives him a pass.
Right. That
oh,
was,
my gosh.
You're talking about for Birdman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so
yeah.
sad. That's like, you need a good
oh,
cry.
Oh, put it back. Don't jump the gun, Michael Keaton.
And
he should have got it.
Mikey.
Yeah. Oh,
come on, man. Yeah. Eddie Redmayne, that was low-hanging fruit.
Yeah,
that
was,
that's why they call it Oscar bait.
But so, and then next week, I mean, you figure 8 or possibly 9 of the top 10 are going to be good. And, you know, we're guessing.
Yeah.
At the,
February.
At the two
what's next
are,
week?
Oh, Beauty and the Beast yeah, and the yeah. Belko just, experiment.
It just depends how well the Shaq does.
That's true.
So, you got, I mean, this, I think it's really a testament to the last few years. Their studios are figuring out why release your crap in January and February and early March. Why, when you can have good movies take the whole box office?
300 basically set the bar for that. 300 came out in March. They basically said, like, hey, you don't have to wait till summer.
Yeah.
To release, like,
people have money to spend
summer,
at the theater
like
right
a summer
now.
Movie.
Yeah.
Well, why put yourself up against something else?
Yeah, exactly.
When you've got a spot that's wide.
Well,
open.
It's funny,
that's a good
now
point, though, because like 300 when it came out, it was like a
it's a movie vacuum.
The land was like free.
Yeah.
You know, and they were like, well, we got this, and maybe people like it. I'll just put my flag here.
Maybe we'll make the spirit.
And it worked. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and also that might be Zack Snyder time. Because that's when he put out Superman, Batman vs. Superman. Yeah. You know, Batman vs. Superman was like mid, was that in like mid-March?
Yeah, I think
late March.
Zack Snyder
It was
time.
Zack Snyder time.
Like, yeah, it was Zack Snyder time. You've spent the most time in this room.
Well, it depends when the Watchmen come out.
Zack Snyder time.
I do love Watchmen with a passion.
I love Watchmen.
Dawn of the Dead, Watchmen, 300. And that's as far as we can get. Sucker Punch is a good looking movie. And then he falls off the rails.
The director's cut is good.
Is it really?
It's
better though. The director's cut's better.
No, it's shinier turd. Good.
It's better. It's better.
I don't know. I think that movie's over criticized. But anyway, in just coming up on Kong Skull Island, Zack Snyder's director of photography, Larry Fong.
I didn't realize that until you said that.
Yeah.
Like, there were certain scenes where I was like, God, looks like Zack Snyder.
He is an amazing cinematographer, though. And again, I mean, he was the DP for Watchmen. I mean, his imagery is stunning. And he's been Zack Snyder's cinematographer, I believe, since Dawn of the Dead reboot in 2004. And he did not do Batman v Superman. It was the first one he didn't work on for Snyder. He left to do Kong Skull Island. So
smart move.
The visual tone. Yeah. And it's in the Warner Brothers family. So it's not like he jumped ship. But I think comparing the two movies, we'll get into it. But that's where that visual flair comes from. So number 9, La La Land, still making money, $1.7 million, a 43% drop, almost $150 million domestic, $250+ overseas, $400 million on a $30 million budget.
Sorry, crazy. Dan, I counted that as one of my good movies.
It's fine.
I know it's not your thing, but I think you can acknowledge it's a good movie.
Musicals. Yeah. It was one of those, there are things that I think are amazing in the movie. Yeah. I just feel overall that it's just the character.
It might not be everyone's cup of tea, but the thing that I hate is the blanket hate. I think that if you can't
hate,
mine's more of a comforter hate.
No, but the thing is, like, if you can't admit that there are some technical feats in that movie that are impressive,
totally,
and the fact that they captured
Emma Stone has wonderful feet.
And
there's some dancing feet.
To capture the imagery and the choreography that they did and the music, like, it may not be your cup of tea, but to just say, oh, that movie's awful and sucks 100%, like, that's
not fair. There are just some decisions, some character motivations that I it lost me.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, $400 million. So that is definitely successful.
And we said that was his highest grossing film of all time, right? Ryan Gosling.
I believe so. Yeah. I mean, that's huge.
Kill Blade Runner 2040.
That's right. Maybe
not. Okay. Probably not. But okay. Whatever.
I hope that's good.
Is that? No, it's not Ridley. It's Denis Villeneuve.
Ridley is part of it, though.
But yeah, he's involved. But did you see Ridley Scott has like 20 Alien sequels planned?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Seriously. I mean, he has like four.
No,
like
I believe
six.
You.
So what this is coming down to is that basically it's like he and James Cameron probably have this deep seated hate for each other ever since Aliens.
Yeah.
And they're like both like, well, I'm gonna do 17. Oh, I'm gonna do 25.
Oh yeah. Guess what? I'm gonna do 30.
Yeah. Well, it's like, well, you're like 72. Yeah. I know. I was like, at his age.
He seriously. I'm not even making this up. I believe Ridley Scott has six more Alien movies planned, and the second one, the sequel to this one, is already written. So
while these two are trying to outmovie each other, George Miller's not saying anything, and then he'll do another Mad Max,
right.
And it'll be even better. And then he'll
he'll disappear like Obi-Wan in the robe in episode 4.
I don't even want him to do another Mad Max. I honestly don't think he can top himself.
I don't think he.
There's no way. I don't think he will either.
He'd just pop up and be like, boom, I'm in another Babe.
Yeah.
Pig in the city.
That's where he needs to go. Or Justice League Dark. I'll let him do that.
Another Happy Feet sequel.
No, no, no. What if.
No.
You want Guillermo?
Yeah. What if Babe could drive a car?
Boom.
Oh my god.
CGI Babe.
Mad Babe.
Go on.
Oh my gosh. Well, anyway.
That'll do, pig. That'll do.
Number 10.
Thunderham. Beyond Thunderham.
Oh my god. All ideas you hear in the Real Spoilers podcast are copyright and Real Spoilers.
He's actually doing the Spider Pig ad up
here. The Spider Pig.
And it's Babe.
And it's rated R.
Shared universe.
Yeah.
Spider.
Well, it's rated R because there's so much porking.
Look at you.
That was good. Man.
Well done.
Wow.
Peter Porker.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a real character.
That's a real character. I don't give him credit for that.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So rounding out the top 10 is The Great Wall. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's not. Sorry.
Hey.
Goodbye. Domestically, of course. The Great Wall is out in week 4. But have no fear. Dan, 50 Shades Darker. 1.6 million, a 55% drop in week 5. $113 million domestic for that beauty. How about $250 million overseas? I did not realize it had that big of an international appeal.
Well, they like sex too. But we didn't invent that. You know that, right?
Right. But the fact that it has that following,
just an American thing.
Yeah. You don't need subtitles during the important scenes.
300
just good
during,
sound effects.
During what scenes?
Yeah. How do you type?
That's the question. And
is it UGH? Is that how we're spelling it? UH?
Joe, you did not see the movie.
No, hell
you
no.
Listen to the podcast?
Yeah.
There's like nothing in the movie. Like the movie did not do anything for any of the ladies that were here. Like.
The only thing that you look forward to is like when you think something's about to happen, and you know, like,
there was no semis for me in the movie, not even a little bit.
You said that he doesn't get to take his shirt off.
There were
the
more semis
thing.
In Duel.
Wow!
Huh?
Wow!
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's good
the
one.
Guy. The guy is fully clothed.
I wonder if he didn't get in shape.
No, he wasn't. Again, we mentioned
he does like pull ups at one point.
Yeah, he's in shape.
Yeah,
oh, but
he's ripped.
The sex scenes.
He's actually bigger. He's close. I mean, you could tell he's bulkier than this.
He's trying to get that role. He's trying to get a DC role.
Yeah, God. he's going to be the film version of Arrow doing the salmon ladder.
Yeah, right.
Like he could
see him.
Yeah, but 50 Shades Darker, $358 million worldwide.
So. And just in the effort in the interest of full disclosure, I did not. Count that as a good movie.
I had figured.
I just wanted to make sure. So there
thank
was.
Thank you for clarifying. There that. Were
no.
Yeah, thank you.
There was no doubt.
No, he counts that as a great.
You
want
to clarify just for yourself?
Yes.
Like, look, I'm just saying.
The
right
thing
now.
That could make it good is if it would just like go
money shots,
campier, you know, more ridiculous
porn.
And more like. Falcon
you
crusty.
Mean, yeah, you mean like you know? Own how ridiculous
yes,
the writing
yes,
is because
yes.
the writing is atrocious and it's ridiculous,
like we started,
but they're trying to be serious.
We started to see like a glimmer of it when Kim Basinger came lurking, you know, creeping out of
the
shadows
and you're like, oh yeah, here right on.
Well, that's one of the things I talked about in my review for We Were Movie Geeks. Like I was like, they just need to embrace the camp and like embrace like the sex. Like you're, it's like too like timid about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think it's good that like, Hollywood, you know, is making a sex film or a sex series, like, you know, just because sex is still, like, so taboo in Hollywood films.
It's no Poison Ivy.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, just push it a little bit more. I
right.
mean,
it's like they
want
to do the material, but then they want to make this classier, so to speak, this, you know, without being grotesque or whatever. It's like, but your audience wants what's in the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a porn
time
parody.
Did you just reference Falcon's Crest?
Yeah, Falcon Crest.
Okay.
It's funny that you say that, because in that scene, I literally turned to my wife and I was like, is this Falcon Crest? What is happening?
I didn't even know birds use toothpaste.
But it would have, I mean, it's like, do that then.
Yeah.
The only reason I know that show is because my grandmother used to watch it. And like it would be on when
Does
I would
make
come
you
home
sit
from
down
school.
And watch
no,
it.
No, like it would be on when I would come home from school.
Watching her stories.
Yeah, she's watching her stories.
That
it's like, did you miss the boat on Dallas? Did you then miss the boat on Dynasty?
Yeah.
Then miss the boat on Knott's Landing?
Have we got a show for you?
Did you then miss the boat on Hotel? Perhaps we can interest you in Falcon Crest.
You then miss your boat and you have to like 30 minutes to kill? Okay, then
I feel like it was
think about this though.
The old Nick at Night when they showed like actual
Nick
old stuff.
Nick at Night?
Yes, that used to be a thing.
Yeah,
I remember. That show on Nick at Night? I thought Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie.
No, they showed
the Munsters.
They showed everything.
You know, that was the good stuff.
Think about this though, with shows like Dallas back in the day. Those were heavily serialized soap operas.
Sure. Yes.
And there was no catching up. You weren't going to go stream that later,
that's
man.
That's a great point. You missed an episode.
Most people didn't even have VCRs yet.
You missed. Right. I love that 70s show. You ever see that? There's an episode where Red buys a Betamax machine and they record Roots. But instead of watching it while it's on, they just wait for it to record and they go back and watch it later. And she's just like, why aren't we just watching it now? And he was like, no.
we spent money on this.
Yeah, we're going to just
that's
use that. But I was like, that is so true. Even up until like... Yeah. I don't know, 95 when you before, like, I don't remember recording anything. I don't remember recording anything until like the early 2000s.
Yeah.
When my parents finally got,
I just remember that OJ, I have the VHS of that OJ chase.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I have the
my VHS
Halloween specials
copies of The Flash.
Ooh, nice.
Of Max Headroom.
All right.
So I mean,
we had
Tales from the Crypt.
I had Tales from the recorded off channel 30, not the HBO versions. The channel 30 versions.
The HBO versions.
The Simpsons Halloween specials.
Spawn.
Yeah.
The cartoon.
The HBO show.
Get this one. SNL.
Yeah.
If you want to watch SNL, I just was helping my grandma clean out her basement, and I used to live there, so she has a lot of the old VHS tapes that I recorded, and I saw like SNL-Jim Carrey, and I'm like, I remember recording SNL so I could watch it again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know, and Will Ferrell on SNL.
You were like, Jim Carrey's on SNL? Well, this will be a classic for the ages.
Oh, wait.
I'm going to tape it.
I always liked the Jim Carrey
episodes. I'm
going to
tape it in SP mode.
Yeah, exactly.
Got to get that quality.
Yeah. I liked the Jim Carrey SNL. I thought it was great. Like the lifeguard.
That was a good ad.
Yeah. I think that is the first one where they did the Night at the Roxbury guys.
Yeah.
He was in
one of them.
He was in the very first one.
Is that right? I always thought he came on as like a... That skit was already there. Like, this would be perfect for you.
No, I think that was... I'm pretty sure that was the first time they did it.
Yeah.
And because I remember watching him like, well, this is clearly one they're going to want to go back to.
Yeah.
And then they just didn't use him.
And they made a movie out of it.
Yeah.
It was it was a good episode, actually.
I remember actually kind of liking that movie.
Right? I hated that.
Did you just grab my ass?
Terrible.
It was dumb fun. Yeah.
It's one of those ones where, you know, it's like the Coneheads, where it's like, there's really nothing wrong with it. The Coneheads, unfortunately, was just like 20 years too late. But
I liked the Coneheads. Was great.
Yeah, but it's one of those ones where it's like...
Coneheads and Wayne's World.
It's just its relevance was lost. But it was like, it wasn't a bad movie.
That is true. That was like a weird... That was in the 93 or 94, and that
Sold a Squeeze is from
that's right.
Conehead soundtrack
by one of the most overrated bands of all time.
Ugh.
So that is the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome, Tom.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We will go around the table, and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Michael Hafner. You can also find me at Twitter at MPHafner, HAFFNER.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin Brackett. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett and read the articles and interviews at ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers, on Twitter at RealSpoilers, or on Facebook at RealSpoilers. Or on the internet, in general, although Facebook is also on the internet. You know,
also true.
Yeah. We got a website. That's what I'm getting at. RealSpoilers.com or DirtyPirateHookers.com. Either one will get you there.
It's just renewed.
But I bet you those Dirty Pirate Hookers will get you there a little quicker.
That's right.
The whole website is just a little sexier when you go that way. Yes. I should have just like some music playing in the background when you go through that way, you know? Yeah. It's like, did somebody order a pizza?
Photoshop fishnet stockings on all the posters.
Yeah, it's just a little touch. Yeah. That, yeah.
So, that would... That's, no, not going to do that. Even I have a line. So, anyway, that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Kong Skull Island. Did I get the title right?
Yeah. Last week, you closed it by saying Kong Island.
Kong Island. Skull Island. Skull Kong. Kong Skull.
Yeah, Numbskull.
The gorilla movie.
Yeah.
This is where somebody has to tell you he's an ape.
No, oh, that's true. Yeah. It's the other way around.
Or is it the other way around? I don't know. All I know
people
is
call him a monkey.
All
it was not
whatever
monkey.
I say, I'm wrong.
He does have a... Yeah. Oh, my God. There was the docent at the zoo. Somebody was like, look at that monkey. She goes, does it have a tail?
Yes.
Thank not
you.
A monkey.
Thank you, zoologist.
I was like, well, okay. And this kid's two.
Yeah.
Yeah. She said that's your kid?
No, that's
walked up.
You get a super kid that's crying.
Doesn't have a tail?
He's like, no, not my kid. My kid's not an idiot. My kid knows.
That's
yeah,
funny.
This other kid.
Yeah, this little stupid boy.
Yeah.
But, you know, still, I was like, whoa.
Pump the brakes there.
Yeah.
You little brat, go read your biology book.
So I pushed her over.
Yeah. I threw her into the
She was that kid that Harambe took.
She was the kid.
Oh. Uh-huh.
She's like, enjoy your intelligent design, you little born again. They're getting really catty at the zoo.
They are. Yeah. It gets a little
if you had to wait for 3 weeks watching a giraffe not get born, you'd be pretty pissed too.
No. You don't have anything else to do besides watch that video, then you deserve to watch that
people
video.
Are just watching it.
I think
weeks.
At this point they need to call it what it is. It's a giraffe gestation video.
Yeah.
It's not the same thing.
Well, the thing's name is April. We've been watching since February, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be born in April. So I think that was a very
fitting
name.
They did that
name.
On purpose.
Yeah.
They knew.
They were like, that's not the name. That's actually the expectancy date.
We
and someone
told
mixed
you.
Up the... Yeah, it's not... Like, people are calling it April, but that's not... But seriously, when I see hundreds of people logged into the video watching it, I'm like... Nothing is happening. You realize, like, just wait till someone says it's been born and watch.
Or like it's being born. You're like, click.
Yeah,
oh, there
right.
It is.
Well, then,
I also don't want
to
see it.
I don't want to. I don't want to see a giraffe come. You know what I don't want to see? Giraffe vagina.
You
know what I want to see even less than giraffe vagina?
A baby coming
stretched out.
Yeah.
Giraffe vagina.
I think the
with another giraffe shooting out of it.
I think.
Call me old fashioned. I don't want to see. Babies of any kind being coming out of vaginas. Yeah. Like, that's just not something I enjoy.
I think the babies are like 100 pounds. I think the giraffe babies are,
I guess,
you know,
yeah,
are
yeah.
huge. Are 78. You know, they're born like a mini giraffe with a long
size
of
a Backstreet
Boy. You got to hope to Christ that thing's not breech.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got a dead giraffe one way or the other.
I have two dead giraffes. Yeah,
that's true, too.
That would be... That'd be problematic.
That'd be tragic.
So this has been Zoo Spoilers.
Yes. So anyway, that's it for this episode. Coming up next time, Kong Skull Island, Skull Kong Island, whatever.
You got it right. Just stop.
You've been warned.
I'm King Kong, got a hydrogen bomb.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.